I know there's a lot of children in here today, a little bit older, grades 3 to 6. If you want to track along in the message, the key word is encourage or encouragement. All right? So you can figure out how many times I say that. Well, let's begin. I always enjoy the comic section of the paper. We don't have Peanuts there anymore, which is a classic. But let me just give you one Peanuts cartoon. I've got Linus, who has put together his own comic strip. And he goes to his big sister, says, "Lucy, would you read this and tell me if you think it's funny?" And the next panel, she's reading it and she's actually grinning. Next one, she says, "Linus, who wrote this?" He says, "I did." She gets a more serious look on her face and says, "Well, then I don't think it's very funny." And she wadded it and threw it away. Last panel, Linus says, "Big sisters are the crabgrass in the lawn of life." Well, I don't think that's true of all big sisters, certainly not mine. But for Linus, his big sister was the crabgrass in the lawn of his life. Unfortunately, I think if we're honest, there's a lot of crabgrass. And it comes in a lot of ways in our lives. It can be words that are spoken to us. It can be our circumstances. It can be our challenges. And they just kind of come along and deflate us, discourage us. What do we do with that? What brings health back to the lawn? Encouragement, inflation. Well, it's fascinating, this word encourage. We throw it around a lot. We don't think about where does it come from? What does it mean? The word encourage in English actually comes from French, an old French word, encourage, in. And this word courage that we get heart from. To encourage is to put life back into someone's heart, courage back into someone's heart. But that's the English word. What about the biblical word? When the original writers used a word that we use the word encourage to translate, it was a little different. The Greek word, if we move to that, it's parakaleo. Two words again, para, to come alongside. To come alongside someone, in what sense? To then call to them, kaleo. That word kaleo is fascinating. One dictionary said it's to call someone in order that they might go somewhere. Come along with me. And here's what's really fascinating. And it was often used by a shepherd who would kaleo the sheep. And in the New Testament, when Jesus called his disciples, that's the word, kaleo. Come with me. I am calling you to follow God. So in the Bible, when this word parakaleo, encouragement, comes up, it's about I'm coming alongside you, that together we journey toward God so that once again life is inflated within us in the midst of all that is going on. It's interesting because I think a lot of times we make encouragement such a light thing. It'll be okay tomorrow. On what basis? Put on a happy face. Life will improve. What if it doesn't? See, biblical encouragement is so much more than that. It's coming alongside someone and saying, in this journey of doing life together, I'm coming alongside you that together we look up to the God who comes alongside us. We get a great example of it that goes back in history. The slave trade was once a terrible thing. And one of the key leaders in Britain who came against that, and that then went around the world, was a guy named Wilbur Wilberforce. And you might know his story. As he was working in Parliament there in Britain to come against slavery, there was a lot of things that came against him. And he wondered, do I keep it up? Is it worth it? John Wesley heard about this. John Wesley, and then a Christian leader. John Wesley is sick on his deathbed, wondering, how do I, out of these last days of my life, do something that's going to be meaningful. He heard about the discouragement, the deflation that Wilberforce was facing in this fight. So he wrote him a letter, and here it is. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Don't be weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might till even American slavery, the vilest that ever the sun saw, shall vanish away before it. See, that's biblical encouragement, not, oh, it's going to be okay, it's going to get easier, because it probably won't. But this reminder, I'm coming alongside you as a fellow journeyer in Jesus to look up and see truth so that life comes back in and we keep going. All year here at McKernan, we've talked about God is calling us deeper into life with him, that we then go wider in our influence for him. And I think sometimes we go home and think, okay, it's up to me to go deeper. It's up to me to go wider. And sometimes that just doesn't go well. It seems we keep messing up. No one's responding. And we get discouraged. And this is where the Bible would say, we're in this together. This journey of going deeper, we need to come alongside one another and lift each other up to a God who loves us. This journey of going wider, we need to come alongside one another and pray for one another. We truly need to encourage one another. We've been in the book of Acts as that early church went deeper and wider, and this theme of encouragement is there, and I want to look at it today. In our journey, we're now coming to Acts 20. The Apostle Paul has actually finished his third missionary trip. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he's going to take an offering there that he's collected from the various churches that he started. And on his way back, we read this. Chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. When the uproar had ended, he's in Ephesus, and there's a mess going on. And he's leaving there now to begin the journey home. Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye. And he set out for Macedonia. He traveled through the area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people. And he finally arrived in Greece. So he's gone from what we know as Turkey, up through that southern part of Europe, back down into what we know as Greece. And now he's working his way back. And in it, this little section ends in chapter 20, verse 12. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. The word is parakaleo. They were greatly encouraged. Acts 20, verse 1, verse 2, verse 12, this word encouragement. When you start to see that show up, usually biblical writers are saying the way they wrote in that time, look at what's going on. There's a theme here. Paul wants us to know about encouraging, about how we need to come alongside each other, about what this means. And I want us to look at some practical ways for us to be people of encouragement, to come alongside each other in this journey of faith. And we see it in Acts 20, verses 1 to 12. First way is this. We come alongside one another. We bring godly encouragement to one another through our words, through words of truth, words that do point us upward. Many of you, if you've been in some of our church's small groups, you've studied books by a guy named Max Lucado. He's this former missionary to Brazil, a pastor in Texas. The thing about his books, he tells real-life stories. He ran a half triathlon. And he talks about in this triathlon, he'd finished the swim over a mile, finished the bike, which was crazy distance. Now he's about to run 21K. And he's feeling a little discouraged. And so the guy who's next to him, as they're getting ready to start the run, he says, how are you doing? And all the guy can say is, I wish I would have never started. Why am I doing this? And this litany of complaints, Lucado says, have made me want to quit. But I saw ahead of me an older lady, so I With all I could, I got up beside her, found out she's 66. This isn't her first rodeo. She's done this before. And she's actually smiling at me and says, you know what? I've done this. We can finish. Look at the weather. Just put one foot in front of the other. Think of all the people supporting you. There's going to be stations with water. Keep drinking. You'll be okay. And he said those words, reminding me not of what isn't, but what is, made a huge difference. We go back to Acts 20, verse 2. Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem. He's going to go through the churches he's been to, gather some people and the money they've collected for Jerusalem. But besides just doing that, what does he do? He traveled through the area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people. And he finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. Now, we know he's speaking words of encouragement to these churches. Do we know what might be on his heart and mind? We can't know for sure, but Romans 15 gives us a little bit of an inkling. Here's what we read in Romans 15. He's wrapping up this book of Romans, this letter he's written. And he says, now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. We put this all together, and what it tells us is Paul wrote the book of Romans at this time. As he's gathering people, gathering the collection, moving around, about to go to Jerusalem, that's when he writes the book of Romans. So it isn't much of a stretch to think that the themes of Romans are the very themes he is now encouraging the people with. That's what's on his heart. So what's he saying? Maybe stuff like Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the restoration of Jesus. It's the power of God. And he's maybe saying, I don't know where you're at in your churches, but God is powerfully at work. And his restoration not only wants to forgive your sin and bring you to him, but do greater work. Keep looking to him. Maybe the encouragement out of Romans, what we know is verse 5:8. God showed his love to us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he's saying, you know what? You might feel totally unworthy or down. God loved you when you were at your worst. That's why Jesus died on a cross for you. He loves you. Keep going. Maybe his words of encouragement got really honest, like Romans 7, where he says, you know, there's times I know there's things I should do and I don't do them. Other times there's things I shouldn't do and I find out I'm doing them. I'm just a mess. Where am I going to find an answer? Thanks be to God, he's walking with me. And then Romans 8:1, I'm not condemned. Keep going in Romans 8. I've got the Holy Spirit. And Romans reminds us these words of, doesn't matter where you're at, God loves you and he's with you. And then we get Romans 12:1. It's a verse we know, but maybe there's something you don't notice in it. Let's go to it. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, here's what you don't get. I urge you. You know what the word is in Greek? Parakaleo. I come alongside you, having told you everything that's amazing. And now I'm coming alongside you to say, let's walk together to give our lives to God day by day. And it's a reminder of another part of encouragement. It's not just affirming what is good. It's also directing, correcting. I'm coming alongside you that together we live in light of this. I think of how as a grandpa, there's times the encouragement to my granddaughter is take my hand as we cross the road. She doesn't want to. She wants to cross the road. She wants to do it on her own. But would that be ultimately encouraging to just let her go into something dangerous? No. So encouragement in that sense says, there's potential danger there. There's warning there. And encouragement is coming alongside you, Ava or Libby, and taking your hand, and let's walk safely and carefully. Words of encouragement as Paul expressed them, and he challenges us to express them, are not, it's going to be okay tomorrow, because maybe it's not. Words of encouragement are, it doesn't matter where you're at, God is powerful, God is with you, God loves you, God is good. But words of encouragement are also, I see the path you're on, and if you stay on, there's trouble down the road. God in his good love and design, it says, walk this way. And he's with you to do it, and we're with you to do it. Here's my question for you. Who in your life have you given permission to both lift your eyes to God in encouraging words as to who he is and affirmation, but also to come alongside you and challenge you? See, we're never going to go deeper in our faith or wider in our faith if we think we can do this alone. Who have you given permission to walk with you, reminding you of who God is and reminding you of the path that you want to be on? Who around you might need some of these words? And again, we don't come in with a bunch of cliches top down. We come alongside and say, like Paul, I don't get this right all the time. But here's what I know is true. God is on the throne. God is good. God loves us. Here's where he's had to show me ways to get back on the road and how to do it. And I want to do that. See, this is what we need to be for each other. Our encouragement needs to be way more than some, oh, it'll be okay. It needs to be, there's a God on the throne. And he's good and he loves you. And it does matter how you live for him. Who have you given permission to speak that kind of encouragement into your life? And who around you needs you as that kind of an encourager? We bring godly encouragement first to these words of truth. But then we do it through really tangible support. This kind of coming alongside in the journey sometimes is costly. I already read out of Romans 15 how this whole context is Paul starting in Ephesus, gathering people who've been gathering money because there's poor, there's some kind of need going on in Jerusalem and they've collected money. And so he's gathering people out of the province of Asia, Greece, all these churches. And they're going as a group down to Jerusalem. That gives some background to these next verses that kind of sound like a travelogue. Verse 4. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. The sense of all these people gathering and moving. Here's what I want you to notice. These are real people who have taken real time to give and collect what others have been given as of real finances and real resources to go to real people in need. All in this context of encouragement. Sometimes what's required for our words to have any meaning is for our coming alongside to be really practical. Sometimes to encourage means it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us some time. It might cost us out of pocket. It might cost us not doing something we wanted to do to come alongside someone else. I just remember, even as I think of this church's encouragement to my family. I think back to when our son Donovan fell off a cliff. Oh boy, that's so long ago now. 2003. That summer, some of you made trips to Calgary when we were down there at Calgary Children's Hospital. That was huge. Many of you, as our other kids came up here, and there's a lot of care needed for them, provided meals. And when we came back, there were meals and just all this support as we were kind of walking with Donovan in his recovery. Huge. And I know how many times when things happen in the life of the church. You support each other and meals are provided and all of that happens. I also remember when my dad died, his funeral in Calgary. All of a sudden a bus shows up, this big bus, and I'll get so many of you. It made the trip down. Same thing when my mom died, that bus shows up in Carbon. That's encouragement. And let me tell you, when that kind of investment is given, you listen to the people who've come alongside you. So again, I ask the question, who in your life needs this kind of encouragement right now? I want to get this practical. VBS said God is good. Often his goodness and his encouragement, his coming alongside, it comes through us. And we can sing it and go from here, and isn't that good? But I'm just going to be quiet for 30 seconds. And I'm going to ask you to pray, God, who in my life right now needs some tangible support? And it might mean I have to give him some time. It might be inconvenient. But what does it look like for me in these next days or weeks to give tangible encouragement to someone? Who's God bringing to mind? Got it? Don't second guess yourself. God may have put that person there. We bring encouragement to one another through words of truth, pointing us to God, his truth around who he is and the life he has for us. Through tangible support, how do we come alongside? I want to shift gears for this next one. We also bring godly encouragement to one another as we gather together in worship. Just before the message, we sang, "Here I am to worship. Here I am to say that you're my God." Who are we saying that to? God knows. We're saying that to one another. We're reminding each other, however we come to this morning, look to who God is, the children, saying to us of the goodness and love of God. Do we listen to that, or do we just come on Sunday because it's Sunday and we're supposed to? Verse 7, they've come to Troas. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Some of you hear that part, and that's not very encouraging to you. I won't go till midnight, don't worry. But this first part, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. There's some powerful stuff going on here. Paul and this church is birthed out of Judaism. When did they meet? Saturday, the last day of the week. On the first day of the week, the early church started to meet on Sunday. Why? Jesus rose on Sunday. Even gathering on the first day of the week is a way of saying we are the people of the resurrected Jesus. And they totally shifted tradition of meeting Saturday to Sunday because we are going to gather together on the day that Jesus rose. Remind each other we are resurrection people. They broke bread. That means they had communion. They remembered that this Jesus loved them and died for them so that they could be forgiven and have new life. We miss it when we come together on Sunday because it's Sunday. We come together because we're the people of the resurrection. And we follow a resurrected Jesus. And we look into his word and we're reminded that we're loved deeply. And that anything he says to us out of his word isn't out of some arbitrary rules that are going to make us look weird in culture. But they're out of a heart of God who designed life the way it was intended to be lived in its fullness. And however we come, we sing songs. Ephesians 5:19. This is amazing. It says we speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Did you ever think of, as you sing, we're supposed to be proclaiming to one another what's true? One of the times this just hit me so deeply was our dedication service here of the new facility. It had been, 21 months in exile at the school there? It was a long time. And there were challenges. This thing was too short, and there was too much water in the basement, and extra months, and I'll never forget. We had that slideshow with the pictures. We say, never once, standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that God was with us, scars and struggles all the way, but with joy my heart will say, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did he leave us on our own. God, you're faithful. I don't know, that morning as we sang that, it's just like we said that to one another. And it didn't matter what you were carrying in that morning. God, you are faithful. We declared that to one another. We mess up worship. We make it about styles and I like this kind of song and you like that kind of song. That is not what it's about. It is not just Christian karaoke, us getting up and singing some songs we like. It is declaring the truth of who Jesus is and what it means as his people to stay faithful and walk with him. And there's old songs that need to be in our bones so that during the week we sing, great is thy faithfulness. God, my Father, we sang that to each other in church and it's real. And there's new songs. Bible says sing a new song, and we need new expressions. All of you parents of VBS kids, I need to speak to you now. You are probably tired of hearing those songs. They are playing in your car, they are playing at home, and you're going, You have the most amazing opportunity to sit down in your kids with your kids and say, what do those songs mean? Think about it. So that when they're singing them over and over at home, they are saying to one another, this is who God is. See, that's worship. And then we stop complaining about the styles because it doesn't matter anymore. What matters is the God we declare and the truth that gets into our bones. So that when trouble comes, we say, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Even though I mess up, I'm loved by you because that's what your word says. It's who I am. That's encouragement. Let's look at one more. We encourage one another through words of truth, through tangible support, through gathering together to worship and declaring the truth about who God is, what it looks like to respond to him and live for him. But finally, we encourage one another as we lean in together to God's power. I'm about to read one of the strangest passages in the Bible. Do you know there's a story in the Bible about a guy who falls asleep in church? And he dies? And God brings him back to life? It's here. Let me read it for you, okay? Okay, seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. I'm not making this up, people. It's here. And where I get to stand every week, I get to see this, okay? All right. Just saying. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Okay, here's the first lesson. If you're going to fall asleep in church, don't sit on a windowsill, okay? That's not the main lesson. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after Talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly parakaleoed. They were greatly encouraged. Why does God do miracles? I think we make the mistake that he does miracles so that my life on earth is going to be easier. Think about that. Life in his presence is so much perfect and full of joy. A lot of the miracles just extend things on earth. Not that that's not amazing. Why does God do miracles? The biblical account is he does them as a sign of the kingdom. When miracles happen and his power in supernatural ways takes place, it is a visible expression of the kingdom of heaven coming to the kingdom of earth. And we're reminded that this life is not all there is, and all the promises of a coming kingdom are actually going to take place because we're seeing these little down payments now. This rising from the dead. For those who would have been seeped in the scriptures, it's a reminder, Elijah, Elisha, both raised someone from the dead. At a time in which the kingdom of the earth was far from God, and yet God was still saying, I'm here and I'm powerful. And all those who heard about these miracles are going, God is still on his throne. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, after saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet will he live. Those words would have been empty had not Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and then a few days later dies and raises himself from the dead. And says, Lazarus, that is just a down payment of what I'm doing when I die and rise again. And ultimately, when all of you die, if you believe in me, you too will live. And it's like now God is affirming it again as Eutychus dies and comes to life, and the people go home comforted. I'm sure many of them had lost loved ones. And in seeing this miracle take place, they go, wow. Those promises of God, in the end, bringing back to life all who believe in him to be with him forever are going to be true. You see, whenever a miracle happens on earth, it is a reminder that all will be brought to its right place in heaven. Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Amen. So today, what does this mean for us as we are a people to encourage one another? It means as we walk through life and accidents and illness and relational breakdown happens, we pray for the power of God to come. And you know what? Sometimes it will. Our son Donovan, when he fell off that cliff, was told that there'd be a long recovery, but he was back at school in September. There was a miraculous speeding up. But when my father got sick on a Friday and we prayed, he was gone on Monday. But is it any less miracle that he is now in the presence of God, and someday I too will be and I will see him? This is the mystery. I think we sometimes don't know what to do. Okay, we're supposed to pray for healing and all of this. What if it doesn't happen? God is still on the throne and he's still doing miracles, and we lean into his power. And sometimes the kingdom of heaven breaks in now in powerful ways, but you know what? It is going to break in its fullness someday. And the break-in times now remind us of the ones coming. And we encourage one another with that truth. We go home greatly comforted when we hear stories of God's power, because we know his power one day is going to fully restore all things to himself. And that reminds us of what is true. Well, we live in a time where there is a lot of crabgrass in our lawn. I don't know about you today, but maybe you come today quite deflated, or you know others around you quite deflated. When God says encourage one another, it's so much more than a pat on the back. It's going to be okay tomorrow, because it might not be. No, he says encourage one another. The God of encouragement who has come alongside you and Jesus in his Spirit now wants us to come alongside one another. And we do that through words of truth, reminding each other of who God is and who we are because of God, and even correcting each other to what it looks like to live for God through tangible support. Who do you need to invest some time and resources in? Through gathering and worship, as we say, God, as I come today, I want to be part of your community declaring truth. And not only do I want my mouth open to do that, I want my ears open, because somewhere in some song, I believe you have a word of encouragement for me. And we do that as together we lean into the power of God and we pray for God to work. And when we see it in supernatural ways, we're reminded that someday all supernatural healing and resurrection will take place, and we will be in the presence of God forever. And that changes everything today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is true. And you breathe courage back into our spirits, not through human well-wishing, but through godly truth. That you are good. And in the culmination of history, we will look back and see your goodness in a way we can't even begin to imagine now. That you are love. That we are loved. That your Spirit is with us. That when the mystery of unanswered prayer on this earth just leaves us reeling, the truth of ultimate fulfillment gives us hope. God, never once have we walked alone. Never once have you left us alone. You are faithful, and we are going to sing that. We are going to declare that truth to one another. And even as we do, may it seep into our bones. As you breathe new life into us, coming alongside, calling us to faithfully walk with you. Let's stand together.